So what we're going to get started with today, John, this is kind of our starting verse here, John 15:12. And it's interesting, when I started preparing for this, I prepared like two different ones and had to throw those both out. But this is what really God just laid on my heart here is, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we're going to be studying, kind of going over 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to try to cover as much as we can. I have my timer set here to give me a two-minute warning to when to wrap it up. So we'll have plenty of time for chit-chat and restroom and everything else. But we'll dive in here into 1 Thessalonians. But we'll start here with a word of prayer here. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Just thank you so much for your presence in our meeting. You have blessed us so much. You continue to bless us. Continue just to pour your blessings upon us, Lord. Help us to love one another. Help us not to sow seeds of discord, but help us just to edify one another in the way that you would have us to, in that brotherly, just loving way that you want us to, Lord. And just help us. Just continue to bless our meeting, Lord, and help us be examples to others that need to know the love of Jesus. Help them just to repent and seek you, Lord. And just we do this all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And so in 1 Thessalonians, they really get it. They're kind of like the Colossians or the Philippian saints, the racehorse saints there. They just really understand the gospel. And it's amazing because we'll read off, they start in idolatry. And we really don't kind of think of that today, but we'll read in other parts of the Bible, covetousness is a form of idolatry. And I think sometimes we can be plagued with that, with materialism and whatnot. But we'll just dive in here. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ. And right there, the in, it's subtle, but it shows that closeness of relationship there, the in the God. In other parts, there's more of a distance the way Paul writes that and to other places. But there is a really close fellowship there. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to you. We give thanks to God always for you. And that's part of the Christian walk. We are to give thanks. I healed 10. We're the other 9. Making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God, of our God and Father. And sometimes when they list off things like that and say in something, it's kind of good just to reverse it, if you will. In the sight of God our Father, your work of faith. In the sight of God our Father, your labor of love. In the sight of God our Father, the patience of hope. Going there back to verse 4 there. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance that you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The word came in power and much assurance. There was obviously things happening there that they could not deny, that they would either choose to accept the truth or accept a lie. But things were happening there that took them to that point there. We read in, I want to say it's Mark 16:17. I'm just going to flip over here. If you need any of these passages, I'm happy to provide it for you. But just for time's sake here, Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak new tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on sick and they will recover. I think oftentimes you'll hear of groups taking that out of context and kind of like tempt the Lord there, which they should not do. But there's power in this message here. And then verse 6 here, and you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. We read about that in Acts 17. With the joy of the Holy Spirit. They're having this affliction, but they still have the joy of the Holy Spirit here. And kind of thinking of the trials there in 1 Peter 4:12-14, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange things happen to you. Like, it's going to be normal to have trials in our life, as unfortunate as that sounds. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings. We're partaking in the same suffering that Christ had. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And that's the joy of the Holy Spirit. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. We're to be blessed if we are to actually have a trial for our walk of Christ. For the spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. And so we just kind of have to keep that in mind that God sees trials differently. As long as we're walking as God would want us to walk, it's not a failure, whatever the circumstance, whatever the results might be. Kind of think of Job there, when everything was taken from him, that wasn't a loss. But going there to verse 7, so that you become examples to all of Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So they were examples to others, their faith there. For from you the word of the Lord had sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Their testimony was that strong. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we need not say anything. There's zero need for really correction in here. But going back to that starting verse, eventually he'll tell them, hey, you're doing great. Keep on loving one another. For they themselves declare that concerning us, what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And I mean, like I said there, we see that covetousness is the idol we see more present day. But to turn that, it's not like it's a, oh, stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this. Give them something better. Give them Jesus. And to wait on his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivered us from the wrath to come. And the wrath to come here, this can be kind of like, oh, he's talking about hell. No, he's talking to believers here. That wrath to come is the great tribulation. And if we compare that with Revelation, I have it here in my notes somewhere. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the world, that dwell upon the earth. God's going to, if we're looking for his seeking, he will take us out, so we don't even have to enter that. We don't even have to fear that. There will be that translation. We won't even go by way of the grave. We'll go kind of by Elijah with the J. I always get those kind of mixed up. Or by Enoch, same way. That's how they went to heaven. For you yourselves know, brethren, I guess verse 2, or chapter 2 here. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before, and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our, and it is just others just bringing, just suffering and pain to them, just trying to throw them off their course. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. And this is the exact same thing, the word has to come forth here. Not in error, not in uncleanness, not in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. We're not doing this to say, to please others. Our testimonies to God, but to God who tests our hearts. Neither at any time did we use flattering words, and that's just kind of stroking the flesh there, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, and I had to look this one up, a disguise to hide self-motivation, or self-motive, selfish motives, just a going about it in a deceitful way almost. God is witness. They didn't do any of that. Nor do we seek glory from men. They didn't do that. Neither from you or others. When we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, they didn't bother even asking them for an offering. They were tent makers. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own child. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. And I can't help but think of that verse, the no greater joy. I have the exact one here somewhere here. The third John there, verses 1 and 4. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And that's really what Paul was having here. This, he was so happy to hear about them walking in truth. So effectually longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. They had that closeness. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, laboring day and night. So they're working during the day as a tent maker, then preaching the gospel at night, that we may not be a burden to any of you. We may preach to you the gospel of God. You are a witness, God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged each and every one of you. So it's an individual too. It's not just a broad whatever. They had that closest relationship with all of them, as a father does his own children, that you walk worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We read about the different glories there. Our former pastor would use that illustration I always liked. In heaven, everybody's cup will be full, but some will have larger cups than others. Verse 13 there. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men. And sometimes we'll think, oh, this is the word of, this is just Greggy, whatever. No, this is the word of God edifying us. We have to know the gospel to be able to filter out truths from non-truths. Not that we're speaking non-truths here, but let's say if we were to go to another meeting, you have to still test everything by the word of God. But it's to edify, to keep our walk in line there. But as in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the church of God who are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffer the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. So they didn't like the Christians there, obviously, having persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So as always to fill up a measure of their sins, but their wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But they were hindered. But Satan hindered us. That doesn't mean they were doing something wrong. If God wanted to overrule, he would have. Sometimes we'll want something like, oh, this has to be the will of God, and we're hindered. As long as we're just walking in faith there, we're doing the right thing. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. I mean, he'd really have that deep love for them. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. And this is exactly what our pastor is supposed to do with us, establish us and encourage us concerning our faith. And that's a hard, ongoing task, that no one should be shaken by their afflictions. And maybe it might be like, oh, this is too much for me to bear. You can go through it. You can survive there. You have the Holy Spirit. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we should suffer tribulation. Again, kind of the verse I said earlier about the tribulations, the trials, that's part of this walk. Just as it happened to you, just as it happened, and you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, at least by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. And so they're wanting to know their, hey, are they still walking in faith? And they found out. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always have a good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted. They were comforted by the walk of the others concerning you by your faith. So our walk isn't only for us, it's for those around us and those that are watching us. For we know, for now we live, that you stand fast in the Lord. And what thanks we render to God for you, for all the joy which we rejoice for your sake before God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, that and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. And that's exactly what I'm talking about here. So they're doing so many things he couldn't even correct them in any other area, but here's what he's charging them with, and it's to abound in love, and that's exactly what we need to be doing. And there's so many things in society trying to pull us apart. We can't let that pull apart our meeting. And then once meetings fraction off and start their own assembly, they have no roots. They're oftentimes fractions even more and fractions even more. It's silly. We just have to keep showing each other that love. Abound in love one to another, to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts and blameless in holiness before God the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. And our pastor touched on this last week, that coming with our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints, the cloud of witnesses we read about in Hebrews 12. When the disciples were sitting there seeing Jesus rise up into the heaven, or into the sky there, they're looking up at the clouds. They're seeing a cloud of witnesses, the redeemed humanity. I'd be looking up at them too, saying, oh, wow, that's what I'm going to look like someday. When the angel's like, what are you doing staring up? Well, that's normal for the angel. It's not normal for us. But that's what they were witnessing there. Finally, brethren, we urge you to exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound. Again, he's telling them to abound, similar to Philippians. We've just Philippians 3, 12 and 14. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, and that's what we are to do, that I may lay hold of what for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. We can't consider ourselves already laid hold of everything God has for us. There's still more for us, more for us to lay hold of, more patience, more of us to be example to others. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and he's remembering his pastor, the persecuting the Christians, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. We got to keep pressing towards that prize. So back here then, finally, brethren, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And Brother Joel there gave all the commandments there in the New Testament, well, most of them in a series there. And we were to love them. We were to do that. That's an easy yoke to do. And there's a lot of practicality, too, to the commandments there. Verse 3 there. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Not that anyone should take advantage or defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and have testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. We are to be holy. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. I think sometimes we take it personally when someone rejects the word of God. And it's always kind of sad there. But that's to God. That's not to us. He has also given us his Holy Spirit. We have all the tools we need to succeed, to be holy, to live this life through the Holy Spirit there. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write you. It's kind of funny he says that, but he also says continue in the love there. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Just keep increasing in this love that we are supposed to show to each other. That you aspire to live a quiet life, mind your own business, and that you work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. And part of that lacking nothing is also perfecting that patience. When I think of the lacking nothing, I always think of the passage in James there. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's James 1:4. I know patience is something that I always have to work on that one. But going down here, verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant. We are to know the word of God. We are to make that a priority in our life. Brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, and those are the people that have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We're allowed to be sorrowful when someone dies. But we aren't allowed to be sorrowful as those who have no hope, as those that don't realize, hey, they're in the presence of the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So those that are dead versus those who are actually on the earth. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet of God. We hear that trumpet of God in Revelation. He's coming from the sky there. Descend from heaven with a shout. So he's coming up to the sky. It's kind of funny. I think there's some weird assembly that thinks like he's coming to Independence, Missouri or something like that. No, he's going to be in the sky. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then again, that cloud of witnesses, the redeemed humanity there, there will be joining him. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So they were terrified that they're going to have to enter the tribulation. And those that are seeking Christ returning, the highest calling there, they won't have to enter that. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So we don't know when this will happen. But for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. We should be prepared for this. For you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But let us who are the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Again, this is that wrath of tribulation. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we should live together with him. And that's what he wants with us. He wants that close fellowship. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. And back to that time and the seasons, we don't know when it comes, but the times and the seasons are right. Everything has been fulfilled. The next prophecy to be fulfilled would be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 there. Or I guess, I don't know if I said 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. So he's telling them, you're doing this, continue in that. Verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Our pastor has a headship over us, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But we're also admonish those, whoever else is helping out in the church there, whoever's help cleaning, whoever's working the children's ministry, whoever here's playing the instruments, who's ever doing the construction progress, be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. We aren't allowed to sow discord, and I think we do a good job about that. I don't think we're out here trying to hurt each other, but we just need to be warned about that. Comfort the faint-hearted, and I think we do a good job about that. Maybe it's an unspoken request, and maybe that's something you share with others, maybe privately, but we're to lift you up in prayer. That's part of the walk of a Christian. Uphold the weak. Absolutely, we're to uphold them, pray for them, whatever that might look like. Maybe doing good deeds for them. Be patient with all, and that's something, I don't know, keeps coming to mind for me because I'm in no way patient. I know that's something God's definitely working with me. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. And oftentimes my flesh wants that. It's like this person should deserve what they get, but I need them to want to repent, to turn to the Lord, that God doesn't want anyone to not believe there. But always pursue what is good for good, both for yourself and for all. And we're supposed to always seek the good. And rejoice always. And it's kind of funny, our former pastor pointed out that's the shortest verse in the Bible in the Greek. Praying without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. We are to always give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that one's very, very hard when we're going through a trial. You want me to give thanks for this? Yeah, we are to be thankful. We have God. We have Jesus inside us. We have the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Oftentimes saints want to think, oh, it's Jesus and God, we're cool with that. The Holy Spirit, oh, that's weird. We don't want anything to do with that. Let's tone that down. No, it says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. And how we know those things is by the second verse here. Test all things. How we test is by knowing the Word of God. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want, when we see him face to face, a job well done, son. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. That works on him. We have to believe, we have to lay hold of that faith, but the work is on him just to transform us there. Brethren, pray for us. And they were facing all kinds of persecution. Verse 26 here, greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Everyone who believes is holy. Anyone that believes has put on that garment of holiness. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And